If you have your Bible, you can open to Joshua chapter 1, and I'm just kind of using that as a proof text to get jump started. I want you to get your outline and kind of turn, and today we're talking about intentional living. I hope you'll get your pen. There's some things that I hope you'll write down and kind of apply this week. And is everybody comfortable? Everybody comfortable? Everybody settled? Okay, now stand up. We'll stand up for the reading of God's Word and we'll have a prayer. The job of preaching is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. It's going to be a long day, isn't it? Let's read Joshua 1-5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, that was Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. And notice, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon. Next week, we're going to talk about walking it out. Every time God gives us a promise, we have a premise. And so walk it out. We'll talk about that next week. But I've given to you just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the river that is Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, it all shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. What a great promise. Let's pray. Father, we're blessed. We're blessed in so many ways. We're thankful for this church. We can come and be at home, to be with people that we love and to worship you, a God who is just so good. And Father, I pray for this year. I pray that we'll be intentional. I pray that we'll be the people that you called us to be individually. And as a church, I pray that this is going to be a purpose-driven church. So Father, today I ask for ears that we can hear your message, hearts that can receive it. Give us mouths that will share the gospel story. Give us eyes to see Jesus and feet that follow. Our prayers for transformation. We want to be your people. We want to be salt and light. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, young, be seated. Our series is one of intentionality. Now, what we learned the first week, we learned that there's a difference between intent and behavior. We learn there's a difference between the things that we want to do and the things that we actually do. Psychologists have come in and labeled it, and they've talked about the intent-action gap. Now, unfortunately, corporations have learned this, but they've learned it the hard way. Netflix, when it first started, Netflix came out and they asked us, if you're a member, what movies do you want to watch? And so all the information they got back of the movies that we want to watch, they found out that we actually don't watch the movies that we say we want to watch. We actually end up watching the movies that we watch. And so now Netflix, it will judge what they do on your behavior and not your intention. McDonald's found it out the hard way because they did some surveys, they did some polls, and they found out that America asked for a cheeseburger that was better for you. And so they came out with a healthy alternative and they pushed it out in front of us. And when the customer got to the front of the line, what we ordered was the Big Mac. And what we found out is our intention a lot of times doesn't coincide with behavior. Sociologists are scratching their head because if you poll the United States, you'll find out that 90% of our population right now claims to be Christian. That's their intention. But the reason they're scratching their head, Barna, there's a lot of people, Gallup, they've done these polls, they've done these surveys, and they find it very difficult to separate the behavior of Christians from the non-Christians. And I want to tell you, that's a shame. And my passion is for transformation. My passion is for changed lives. And what we can do, we can make a division between the people and their intentions and those that don't have the intentions. The problem is our intentions a lot of times do not lead us to a healthy and a good behavior. So what do you do? The first week we learned about God speaking to Joshua. You got to be strong and you got to be courageous. You're going to have to swim against the flow. You're going to have to go upstream. When it gets difficult, you got to get strong. You got to Be strong and courageous. Well, last week we kind of moved to the importance of Scripture. I think we need to be intentional with Scripture. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Do everything that is said. Meditate on it day and night so everything will go well. So when you read God's Word and you come to what God says about money, it's not like Facebook where we can click like or dislike. We accept the Word of God. We're intentional with the Word of God because it's truth. When God speaks about sexual morality, it's true. What God says about forgiveness and about love and about the life that we should be called to live, that we don't turn to the right or we don't do the left. We do everything that is said. We learned about a story, believe it or not, Israel. There was a time when the nation of Israel lost the Word of God, if you can imagine. And Josiah, he called for a work day at the church, and they show up at the church and they're cleaning it out. And lo and behold, at church, they found a Bible. And they brought it in to the king and they read it to the king, and now it's a mirror. And he's looking at his life and the life of the nation, and it didn't measure up to what God expected or what God wanted. And he tore his robe. And he was convicted, and there was repentance. And then there was restoration, and they're going to have the Passover like they've never had for 500 years before in the time of Judges. And when they took the Word of God, we're going to have revival. Now, what's interesting to me is in America right now, we've lost the Bible. And the irony is, on average, we have 3 to 4 Bibles each. I can't tell you how many Bibles I have. But if we don't read them and we don't know the Word, then we can't make the application into our life. Now today, the question is, how do we move from good intention to good behavior? How do we go from just wanting to do it to actually do it? How do we become intentional? Now, sometimes my lessons are doctrinal. Sometimes they're theological, sometimes we go into a hard text, and my outline and my notes are so important because I don't want to say anything wrong and I don't want to get off, and I just want to say it just how I prepared it to say. Today's practical. Today is what your grandmother should tell you. It's common sense, but I've found out that common sense is not all that common anymore. What do we need to do? I think what would be good is just for me to get a cup of coffee, maybe a double shot, get some points that I want to say and just kind of walk around and just kind of, I got too much stuff for us today, but just kind of give us the points and then kind of fill it in. But we need this. Now these first two things, and they're not on your outline, you got to write them down that you need to be intentional. The first thing is the law of intentionality. The law of intentionality basically is you discover or decide what is important and your purpose in life. In intentionality, that's when you come in and please do not prioritize your schedule. You got too many things on your schedule like it is. Don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. Maintain that the main thing is the main thing. And that's being intentional. Now, the second thing we need, and that is the law of consistency. The law of consistency is what we do every day. If what you want to do isn't what you do every day, then it won't be done. If you don't add to intentionality that which is consistent, until it becomes a habit, until it becomes part of your routine and who you are. Do you know what habit means? Habit means in the body. That's when it gets inside you and who you are. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to have the Super Bowl. We're going to have the Olympics. I'm so excited. In a couple of months, March Madness. We watch those athletes, and a lot of times we say, oh, I wish I could do that. Or I wish that I had the ability to be there. And you would say, I would give my life to do that. And by the way, that's exactly what they did. If you're going to be an athlete at that level, it takes your life. It has to get in you. So what do we do today? I hope you have your outline. Point number one, this is not going to amaze you. This is not going to surprise you. How do we become intentional? Point number one, you got to make a commitment. And on the end of that, just put decision. You got to decide. You got to choose. Life is a summation of the choices that we make. And you're looking at me and you're saying, wait a minute, we're going to be intentional. The first thing is make a commitment. Is it that simple? And the immediate answer is yes. You got to decide what you're going to be. You got to decide where you're going to go. You got to decide what you're going to do. You got to decide, I'm going to grow in my faith. Now let's look at A on your outline. And I call this front-end thinking, which I wish we did better. Front-end thinking is when you think ahead. You make decisions early and you manage them daily. That's what we're learning on Sunday night in our study of Today Matters. You make those decisions and you manage them every day. But let me give you some examples. How many of y'all would have liked to have gone back and to do something different about your finances? Anybody a little bit older and you kind of look back and say, you know what, when I was younger, I wish I would have put some money aside because I read a book that says if I would have put this much aside today, I would have this much. And you know what, we didn't do that. And now you kind of hear you're trying to catch up and it's difficult to catch up when you get older. Let me give you another example of front-end thinking. You got a couple and they're going to have a baby or they're planning a family. And the mom wants to stay at home and she lives in a world and in a culture that says, you can't do that anymore. And I want to tell you, you can. But you got to be intentional. And when y'all get married and y'all start planning about a family, what you got to do, you don't live within your means, you live beneath your means. You start budgeting on one salary early and you start saving everything that you can so when that baby comes, now the mom can stay at home. Now, are there sacrifices? Are there things that you need? Sure, you need to do that. But you got to do some front-end thinking. Another example is when you go to school, first day of school, they hand you a syllabus. You read the syllabus and they talk about all the things, all the assignments, all the work that you got to do. And that day you need to say, I'm going to get going. I'm going to do it. But what happens the night before your term paper is due, you say, well, I need to get started on it. It's too late. We need front end. I got one more. Some of you plan on going to college. Some of you planning on, well, what's my future life? What's my job? Not only may it be college, it may not be college. Maybe it's vocational. Maybe it's service. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you go to the academy. But you're going because this is going to help me get to where I need to go. And sometimes when you don't do front-end thinking, you go to college and I don't know what my major is. By the way, used to, you could have 2 years when you're doing your basics. You look at college today, most majors, you start on day one. And if you don't start on day one, then you get behind. Did you know the idea of graduating 4 years, to a lot of people think it can't be done? Well, it can be done. You just got to go in with a plan. If you're going to build a tower, you better sit down and figure out the cost. And then you say, well, I don't know exactly what I want to be. Just get a major. Just get a degree. They say today that you're going to have 7 career changes in your lifetime. So get your major, get out, get a job. Down the way you change your mind, find out what you need to do. But don't start, skip, find something else, start something else, and then you become a professional student and you have a student loan debt and no degree. Or what's worse, you have a huge student loan because you went to a school you wanted to go to and you have a degree that got you a $25,000 a year job. What do you need? Front-end thinking. Purpose, intentionality. B, we got this, and this is a positive. The power to choose. I love this. You say, well, I just couldn't help. Oh, yes, you could help it. You can choose. Viktor Frankl, he learned in a German concentration camp. They took away his family. They took away his wedding ring. They took away his health. They took away all of his goods. And Viktor Frankl said to them, you can take everything away from me except for my freedom to choose. and I choose to love. Oh, that's good. I choose to have a good attitude. When you come back and we do on Today Matters on Sunday night, we're going to talk about attitude. You can choose your attitude. Don't underestimate the power of your choice. You got to decide, what is my purpose? What am I called to do? What am I called to be? Now, when he asks the question, how do we choose that? Again, I don't think you just figured out your own. I think what you do, look at point number two on your outline. You got to get into the Word of God. And you got to do that daily. You got to get in the book. I think you don't create your purpose. You discover your purpose in Scripture. I think you are what God says you are. I think your mission is what God gives as a mission. And you get in the Word, and we studied last week about Josiah that heard the Word of God and he repented. It's revival. We have restoration. Did you know his son, Jehoiakim, when he became king? Jeremiah was the prophet, and Jeremiah couldn't come to the king because Jeremiah was banned to come in the presence of the king. And do you know why? Jehoiakim didn't like his sermons. So if you don't like the message, you get rid of the messenger. So he'll send a guy with the scroll, the Word of God, to Jehoiakim, and will read him the message from God, and Jehoiakim will take his knife and cut it up in pieces and burn it. His dad heard the Word of God and didn't turn to the right or left. I'm all in. And his son totally ignored it. It's your choice. You can choose. I think we need to get in the Word daily. Look at A on your outline, the power of time. When you're dating, when you have somebody, in the olden days, we called it courting. I don't know, I guess, of the court. I got to tell you a story, but I got to tell it as a hypothetical because I didn't ask my youngest daughter permission if I could tell this story. But let's just pretend that there was a girl that had to go back to Searcy, to Harding, a week early before school started because she had a job. And she was all by herself. And just pretend that she may have a boyfriend that lives in Missouri. And he decided what I'll do is I'll drive for 5 hours to visit her just a day or two to get back in the car to drive home. And the next week he's going to drive back and start school for the next semester. And can you imagine, supposedly, hypothetically, his parents had a difficult time with him getting in his car that has over 200,000 miles and driving for 5 hours to visit whoever this girl might be. And just suppose that this girl may have had a conversation with her father and said, can you believe her parents are not supportive of him coming down to visit me? And I said, yes. Next week he's going to be here. Do you know what can happen? And you kind of go in. But what happens when you're dating someone? What happens when you're in love? You spend every moment of your time together, and when you're not together, you're on the phone. And then you get married. Now, you know where I'm going with this one. And then you go see a counselor, and the counselor says, do y'all have a time set aside where y'all get together and do something fun? And you say, no. And they say, you need a date night. And they're, I don't have a night. We don't have a night. We can't get together. Really? When we were trying to get to know each other, we spent time. And then you get married. It's kind of like you shoot the deer and you cut the head off, put it on the wall, and you're done. And what do you want if you want your relationship to grow? You got to spend time. You got to date. If you want a growing relationship with God, it's not that hard. You got to spend time with Him. You got to get into His Word. You got to hear God speak. Then you got to pray. You got to pray back to God. You got to speak to God. We got a couple of things that we can kind of look at. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, the crowds, the pressure, they're all coming up to Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus would withdraw to a desolate place and He would pray. A lot of times it was habit. Matter of fact, how did Judas know that he was going to be in the garden? Because that's what he always did. Jesus had a private time with God. By the way, if Jesus needed a private time with God, how much more do I need a private time with God? They come in, the pressure, the demands, all this stuff. First thing Jesus does is he hightails it. He said, I'm going to get with the Father. What do we need to do? Now, I'm not telling you to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not telling you it has to be 3 hours. You may want to start with 15 minutes. It may go to 30 minutes. But you got to find time and a place where it's just you and it's God. And you read it. It's not homework. You meditate on His law. It's your delight. It's your joy. You're spending time with God. And then you pray. We're going to have a series on prayer this year, where you pray, you talk to God. When you're doing that, you need to kind of evaluate your culture that you live in. Now, before you come up to me and say, Jerry, I don't have time to have private time with God, is there some wasted time in your life? TV? Time in the car? Is there not something we can do in the car that's more positive and helpful than what we do in the car right now? I think we can find the time. I think you have to find the time. But I tell you what you need to do is you need to, in that quiet time with God, you need to look at your culture, because right now, culture is louder than God. You're getting a whole lot more information from the world than you do your Father. And he said, well, Jerry, I go to church. Well, add it up. You got 4 hours, you're in the Word, add it up. And then how much other time do you have in your culture? So you kind of evaluate culture when you're in the presence of God and you find out, you know what? They're pulling me in a lot of directions that I shouldn't go. Time, place for God. B, and I think, and I don't have time to spend on this, but I need to, and that's the power of reflection. And by the way, if there's something that I didn't do well, and I'm trying to learn to do it now. You read, you pray, but you got to have time with God where you reflect. I know a preacher at the last week of the year, he takes it off, and all he does, he looks at the year that he just had, and he reflects on how I can do things better, what did I do that was right, and what did I do that was wrong. He looks at his relationship. He has a time of reflection. What do you do in the time of reflection? You evaluate yourself. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, and again, this is tough because I'm proof texting. I'm pulling it out, but we're going through Ephesians on our ladies' class. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, here it is, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. If you do a word study on the NIV, it translates that to grasp. The ESV that I just read, it talks about strength to comprehend. It could mean to seize, to take hold of, and it could also be in a wrestling match where you grab and you wrestle. I think in your quiet time with God, you got to have time in that quiet time when you got His Word and you've spoken, but you have a time where you wrestle it in. It's a mirror. And what is it in my life that gets exposed? What do I need to change? Or what is God saying to me? And you wrestle, you grasp, you have the strength to comprehend what it means to me. Now, here's what Paul prayed, chapter 1, that we know God. Can people go to church and not know God every day? The man at the pool of Bethesda was in the right place but didn't want to be healed. The next thing he prayed in chapter 3 is, I pray that you would know how much Jesus loves you. The breath, Jesus loves. All the nations, you go to Revelation and all the nations are going to be there. The length, what Jesus, there's no end to what He will do for you. The height where He came when He left, and the depth of where He'll go, and on a cross. You would do well to wrestle that in your brain every week. The love of Jesus Christ. Point number 3, you need to identify the areas that you need to grow. This is change, and the little D word that we're going to have is deliberate. Paul said, this one thing that I do. Now, as good preachers, he said, this one thing I do, and then he listed two. But I tell you what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't say these 50 things that I dabble in. And let me just throw it out. If you're an employer, if you have employees, you have management, you have a relationship with somebody, you're married. Here's what we do. We have something that bugs us, something that bugs us. We take it. We put it in the closet, One day there's no room in the closet. We explode. We get them there, whether it's your employee, and we give them a list. Here's 50 things you need to work on. And people can't do 50 things. They can do one thing. They can do two. Matter of fact, I like the idea of two. Five's too many. Choose some areas that you need to work on. If it's in leadership, they'll talk about do one of choice of your passion to improve and work on. And the other one was your skill, what you need to do better. I wish when I was a younger preacher, when I preached, I wish I would listen to myself preach on what they used to call cassette tapes. The last thing I want to do is listen to myself on a cassette tape. You can't improve as a speaker if you don't listen to yourself and find out all the bad stuff that you're doing. Y'all are not very good in constructive criticism, because those of you that love me, oh, they're wonderful. And then the other people say, that was awful, and they leave and storm out, but that's not constructive. Now you video. And again, I don't want to watch myself on video. If you want to improve as a speaker, you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to set some time. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to prepare, practice, reflect. And I never did it. You say, well, Jerry, you've had over 5,000 lessons. Just because you do it a bunch doesn't mean you're good. Now, if you've done something 5,000 times and you're not better, you need to quit and do something else. But you see, you got to find the areas that we're going to grow in. Identify those areas. A, and this is the power of the habit. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 17. Kind of moving real quick. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. And this is interesting. Make the best use of the time, the days of evil. James says, what is your life? It's a mist. Life is not a dress rehearsal. You get a shot, do it well. Be intentional. Do it. Jesus, resolutely, he set his face to Jerusalem. That was his goal. That was his purpose. That was his life. What do? You do it every day. You do it every day. You make a habit. When you have a habit, what happens is there's a path that you create in your brain. When you learn to tie your shoes, it was tough. You cross it, you pull it, you do a loop, you go around, you pull it. And I know some people that never learned how to tie their shoes. Thank God for Velcro. I'll tell you something else that's probably even hurt more of y'all. Some of y'all never learned to tell time with a face. But I tell you, once you learn, you're not like, okay, that's the two, that's the... No, you tie your shoe and you don't think you do it on autopilot. You drive most, and this is scary, we drive on autopilot. It's a path that we make. That's why you need to be careful of the bad habits that you make, because now you have a rut. And to get out of it, it's tough to get out of that path. But you got to make it a habit. There was a man who went to a counselor. He had good intentions, but he never would do it, never put it into action. And the counselor said, I tell you what, this next month has 30 days in it. Every morning when you wake up, every night when you go to bed, I want you to say to yourself, do it now, do it now, do it now. 50 times. Woke up, do it now, 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 do it now. Go to bed, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now. After 30 days, guess what? When he woke up on the 31st day, what's the first thing he thought of when he got out of bed? Do it now. C.S. Lewis said, spiritual growth requires intentional effort. Now, have this on your outline. Being intentional is knowing why you do what you do and why you don't do what you don't do. Being intentional is saying yes to things. It also is saying no to things. And I want you to hear this. What you say no to for some of you is almost as important as the things that you say yes to. But if you say yes to everything, you don't say yes to anything. All right, let's go to B on your outline, the power of presence. We know that we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm amazed that we can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit, but we can also keep in step with the Spirit. We're going to have a series on the Holy Spirit this year. Galatians 2 and verse 20, it's great. Love this verse. We know this. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but then it comes in. Christ who lives in me. Did you know Christ is in you too? 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, we're going to talk about those that love, confess, God abides in him. Look at the next verse. We're going to repeat it again. God abides in him. Oh, what if you knew that God is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you? Number four. Oh, we're almost finished. Aren't you excited? How many are excited? Nobody. Great. Discipleship. I had to come up with another D word, and I don't know if that's the best one, but that's all that I had. But A on your outline, two are better than one. It's not good to be alone. That's why God gave us marriage. That's why God gave us people. You study the early church, and what we find out is Jesus saved them and he put them in a body and they belonged. In Acts chapter 2, you begin in verse 42 to 47, and these are familiar scripture. They had everything in common, and just circle, underline the words together, 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 together. Sometimes you need to go, or sometimes you need to know where everybody knows your name and they're glad. I messed it up. How many watch Cheers? Nobody was ready to go home, but y'all all watched Cheers. That's amazing to me. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're glad you came because you want to see what our troubles are all the same. And I messed it up again. It's close enough. We'll skip on. We need community. By the way, people are not coming to church as much anymore, but you can't get away from community. So now they go to the gym. Now they go to Starbucks. Now they go to Weight Watchers. I went to Weight Watchers last year because I couldn't do things by myself. And so I went to Weight Watchers. I don't even know what we discussed in all the classes, but I do know I lost weight. And I couldn't do it by myself. And I found out there was people that were there. They'd been to Weight Watchers five different times and they would lose weight. And then I'm done and they'd leave and they'd come back big again. And then they'd lose weight and then they'd go and they'd come back. And that's how we do church. You say, Jerry, you telling me that it's important to go to church? I am. I don't know how many times I'm getting stuff, and normally it's information for a funeral, and the children are saying, oh, we were drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. You know what? It's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. Let me tell you something about Weight Watchers. We would come in, and I knew that there was a scale, and I had to be accountable. And there's a power in that. There's a power and coming in community and having people that will help you to be better than you would be by yourself. Well, and this is B on your outline. You got to share your story. Now, this is not evangelism. This is not ministry right now. This is just you in a growth being intentional. You got to find somebody that you can tell and share all the things that you're learning about God and life and doing the day with him. I know you filled in the last blank. Give me just one more second. If that person is negative or they don't care or they're criticized, go find somebody else. But if you find somebody that listens and hears your story and they start growing, meet with them every week. Because you got to have somebody that you can share with. We need to be intentional. It's early in a new year. Please don't say someday and don't say next year. Let's learn to live intentionally. Always stand. Always sing.
To be free from the burden of sin.